Blog Talk Radio.
Spirit Alive Network, Tuesday Night Teachings with your host, Lester Carver. Tonight, we're going to be discussing obtaining the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. But before we get started, I'd like to open with a word of prayer and a song of praise. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this evening, God. I praise you. I magnify you. I lift you up, God. You're greatly to be praised. There is no other like you in heaven or earth or under the earth, God. Father, I thank you for your son, Jesus Christ, that you sent so that we could live life more than abundantly, spiritually, mentally, emotionally, physically, and financially, God. Father, I thank you for you having placed your Holy Spirit within us so that you could dwell within us and so that we could commune with you and we could operate the fullness of the power of that Holy Spirit that you place within us in order to perform signs, miracles, and wonders on earth to draw many to you. Father, I thank you for the intimate relationship we have with you because you dwell within us and we stay in your word. We stay submitted to the authority of your son, Jesus Christ. We stay in constant fellowship with one another, our fellow brothers and sisters in Christ. So I thank you, Lord, for this awesome opportunity that we have to study your word together this evening. And I thank you for you causing all of us to increase from grace to grace and faith to faith. I thank you for this right now in the name of your son, Jesus Christ. Amen. We're going to listen to this song of praise by Jason Nelson, Shifting the Atmosphere.
Shifting the atmosphere.
Whenever things don't feel like you think they should, don't get mad. Don't cuss nobody out. Don't hang up the phone. Worship. If you could just get you out of the way enough to lift your hands and say, God, I need you right here. You'll be shifting the atmosphere. Cried myself to sleep. Don't know where my son is. He's been gone for 3 days. I may call the police. Yeah. But before I do, I'm going to lift my hands. Because in my worship, they'll find him alive and well. And you'll be shifting the atmosphere. Pain in my body. Doctors don't know what it is. And they tell me just take this medication and that gives me another problem. And they say take this, that, and that gives me another problem. But the next time I go to the doctor, before I walk in the room, I lift my hands. And I'll be shifting the atmosphere. Breakthrough and healing. Our worship is shifting. Shifting.
Welcome back to Spirit Alive Network Tuesday Night Teachings with your host, Lester Carver. Tonight we're going to be discussing obtaining the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. And we're going to be discussing this because you're going to see tonight in the Word how it is directly connected to our salvation. And we have been called before the beginning of the world to be children of the Most High God. And because God has called us to be children of the Most High God, we want to understand what God is doing. We want to understand how God is doing it. And then we want to be actively involved in making God's will come to fruition. So one of the things that you're going to see tonight in the Word is you're going to see how God has had this grand scheme, this plan from the beginning of time that he would dwell with his people and his people would dwell with him. And he is using each and every one of us who were called before the foundations of the world to be his children to gather those that he has called who are not yet within the fold. They are not yet in the household of Christ. But God knows who they are. God knows who is going to say yes to making his son Jesus Christ their master and Lord. And see, when they make Jesus Christ, the Son of God, their master and Lord, they are going to come into that place of fellowship with their Holy Father, with their Heavenly Father. And they are going to be in that place of privilege, power, and praise that we are in right now. And see, we were all enemies of God before we were introduced to the death, burial, and resurrection of God's Son, Jesus Christ, which enabled us to submit to him as Lord and Master of our life and receive the salvation that comes with that. And after having done that, we were able to be presented before the throne of our Heavenly Father, God Almighty. And see, passing through that blood of Christ allows us to stand in that place, the secret place of the Most High before the throne of God with Christ behind us, the blood of Christ behind us and the throne of God before us. And we are in that place. We are in that place of security. I want to discuss for a little bit what it means to obtain the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ, because you're going to see that there are a lot of things that people say and a lot of things that people do. But when you are serious about obtaining the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ, then what you are seeking is you're seeking to pursue love, the kind of love that is unlimited. And you are pursuing love first with God. You are loving God with all of your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And then you are pursuing love with yourself by building up your inner man on your most holy faith and by loving yourself in such a way that you are truly able to love others, even up to your enemies. And see, only the Holy Spirit gives you the power to be able to do that. Then, the other part of obtaining the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ is desiring spiritual things. And see, when you understand that God has magnified his word above his name, then when you desire spiritual things, it causes you to study God's word. It causes you to dwell in that place where the thoughts and the words of God are occupying your mind, occupying your being. They are taking up residence in your mind and causing you to reflect on the things of God instead of the things of this world. And when you're desiring spiritual things, it is the result of pursuing love, because see, when you love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, it's going to cause you to study God's word. It's going to cause you to fast. It's going to cause you to fellowship with like-minded believers. It's going to cause you to reach out and share the death, burial, and resurrection of God's Son, Jesus Christ, with someone else. And see, when we get beyond ourselves and we begin looking to all of those souls that God is still drawing to himself through us, he is allowing others to experience his goodness, his kindness, his patience, his faithfulness, his peace, his joy, his love, his self-control through us. And see, we're getting great glory for God in that process. And we have to know that when we are intentionally doing that, then people are, they are no longer bound by the circumstances of what happens. Because see, the people of God in the earth, we are salt and we are light. We bring salt and light to heal broken situations and to dispel the darkness of fear. And when the fear is gone, and when the healing agents are available, then transformation can take place in people's lives. See, that's what that fancy word repentance actually means. Repentance means to be transformed, to turn, to literally be transformed into something other than what you were before. So I'm going to give you an example. Now, many people in their mind, they have this idea that repentance is act of saying, I'm sorry. And really, it has little to do with that and more to do with submitting to the process of being changed. See, the word that is used when God is talking about being transformed in the spirit by renewing our mind to the word of God in Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2 is the Greek word metamorpho, which is to be transformed. It sounds like metamorphosis, right? And one of the animals, one of the created beings that we know that is transformed is a caterpillar. Caterpillar looks like a furry worm with stripes and whatnot, and climbs up on a branch on a leaf of a tree, and it hangs there until it becomes a cocoon. And then it hangs there as a cocoon after crawling up the tree and finding a place on a branch. And it hangs there as a cocoon. And the process that occurs with this furry worm turning into a cocoon, ultimately turning into a butterfly, is a process known as metamorphosis. It's a transformation. So after the furry worm becomes a cocoon and turns into a butterfly with wings, a beautiful butterfly with wings flying off, it never becomes a worm again, right? That's what transformation is. That's what repentance is. Repentance is to be transformed. And the way we're transformed is by renewing our mind. And what causes us to renew our mind is pursuing love, desiring spiritual things, magnifying God's word the same way that God magnified his word above his name, so that we can obtain the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. And when you understand that God has designed this thing so that if you get it the way that he has put it forth, you cannot go wrong. If you get what God has placed before us, you are going to receive all that God has for you. And God is going to be blessed. You're going to be a blessing to others, and you're going to be blessed. And see, our desire for God to be blessed is where it all starts, because God says he wants us to serve him with all of our heart, all of our soul and all of our mind. And that is something different than how we used to think before we were saved. See, before we were saved, it was me, myself, and I. It was all about us. When we get past our old man nature, right? And we start looking to what is going to please God, what is going to serve God, how am I going to trust God more, and how am I going to obey God? That's what we're seeking when we're studying God's word. We are seeking to obtain the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ by knowing the word of God and understanding what God is requiring of us, what God is asking us. Remember, faith without works is dead. However, you are not the one who is working, who is creating your salvation. Your salvation was accomplished 2,000 years ago when Jesus Christ obeyed his heavenly Father, God Almighty, and submitted to death on the cross for you and I, after having been beat 3 times for our physical wholeness. And so that work has been done. But now we have to believe to receive the payment for our sin. We have to believe to receive the forgiveness that God has given us by having paid for all of our sin, past, present, and future, with the blood of his Son, Jesus Christ. And that causes us to forgive everybody else, because we understand that no one is going to sin against us as much as we have sinned against God during our whole life. And so forgiving is a real part of the equation of obtaining the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. See, remember Jesus Christ's example when he was nailed to the cross and he had the malefactors who were on either side of him? And the one that was basically cursing him, telling him to get it over with. And the other one was speaking words to him that were compassionate and comforting, and he was empathizing. And Jesus Christ, what he said to his heavenly Father is to forgive these people who were crucified him, for they know not what they do. But then he told the one wrongdoer who was on the cross next to him, he said, "You're going to be with me in paradise." And see, we have to understand that obtaining the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ is sharing in that mindset of forgiveness, sharing in that mindset of doing what God is requiring us to do, so that when we read the word, we are not just looking for the promises, we're looking for the commands. Because see, behind every command is a promise. What that means is the command comes first. God will give you what to do, and then he will tell you why. He will say, if you do this, you're going to be blessed like this. And see, God sent his only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, so that we could live life more than abundantly. So he's given us the instructions. He's given us the playbook. It is an open book test that we have in front of us. And yet, what that often requires us to do is to get out of our own way. It requires us to put our will, our emotions, our observations, our feelings about things out of the way, and ask the question, how are we going to get glory for God today? How are we going to obtain the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ? See, because Jesus Christ's example was, he wasn't going to curse those who cursed him. He was going to bless them, right? He was going to do good to those who spitefully used him. Who's going to pray for those who persecuted him. And see, we have to get to that point where we are serious about the things of God. I want to start tonight's teaching in the book of 2 Thessalonians. And I want to look at 2 Thessalonians. I want to start in verse 13 where it says, "But we are bound to give thanks to God always for you, brethren, beloved by the Lord, because God from the beginning chose you for salvation through sanctification by the Spirit and belief in the truth, to which he called you by the gospel for the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ." So what you see here is that God called us by the gospel that has been shared with us for the purpose of obtaining the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. God called us by the gospel to obtain the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. And see, we have to understand that what it says here, it says, because God from the beginning chose you for salvation through sanctification by the Spirit and belief in the truth. See, you have to understand that God called you from the beginning of the world. God chose you. You're that special. You're that important to God's plan, and you need to know that. You have to understand that. And to understand that from the beginning, God chose you for salvation, to be saved through the blood of his son, Jesus Christ, through sanctification by the Spirit. See, you've been set apart. That's what that fancy word sanctification means. Through sanctification, through being set apart by the Spirit and belief in the truth. See, you have to know what the truth is. The truth is the Word of God. See, there. Remember, Jesus Christ said, those who are to come are going to worship in spirit and in truth. That's us. That's us. And when we know that we've been called in the truth, and we've been sanctified by the Spirit, and that it was God that chose us from the beginning of time for salvation, to receive salvation, to be saved. And it is the work that God started within us that he is faithful to perform. See, the work that God started within you, he is faithful to perform. God does not leave work undone or half done. So just because you don't know everything today doesn't mean that God is not working on you right now as you speak, especially after you make Jesus Christ the Lord of your life, your master. And when we get to the point where we understand that God's plan is good and we believe and we agree with God's word that God's plan is good. See, Romans 12:1-2 tells us to prove the word, to test the word, to walk the word out, and to see that it is not, that it is good, that it is everything that God said says that it is. Look at what it says in verse 15 of 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, I'm sorry. It says, "Therefore, brethren, stand fast and hold the traditions which you were taught, whether by word or our epistle. Now may our Lord Jesus Christ himself and our God and Father, who has loved us and given us everlasting consolation and good hope by grace, comfort your hearts and establish you in every good word and work." See, it is God that establishes us in every good word and in every good work, so that it is not just what we say, it is what we do. And we have been given an everlasting consolation and good hope by grace, so that our heart should be comforted and established. in every good word and every good work. Don't be afraid of good works. Don't be afraid of not being weary in well-doing. See, there are those who, and I'll tell you, it does. There are times when it gets exhausting. Not that it has to be like that always, but there are times when you just don't feel like it. You don't feel like serving. There are times when you don't feel like turning the other cheek. There are times when you don't feel like blessing those who are cursing you. There are times you don't feel like loving your enemy, right? There are times when you don't feel like doing good to those who persecute you and praying for those who spitefully use you. But you do it anyway. You do it because this is one of the ways that we obtain glory, the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ, by following his example. See, when you follow the example of Jesus Christ, you're desiring spiritual things. You're not looking for the immediate gratification that your ego gets when you stand up for yourself. And that's what we call it, standing up for yourself. How much greater is it when God stands up for you because you take a step back, because you keep your mouth shut and you speak in tongues when people are berating you and acting crazy, right? See, there's a way to get glory for God, but you got to pursue love. And it's not just love with those who love you. Pursuing love oftentimes involves loving your enemy. And when you get to that point of spiritual maturity, you're going to desire even more spiritual things because you're going to realize that the magnitude of spiritual blessings that God has available to us is unlimited. There is no scenario where you're ever going to get so close to God that you can't get closer. It's infinite, the level of depth that we can find in our relationship with God when we are putting his word first, when we are magnifying his word the way that he magnified his word, when we are pursuing love with God, love with ourselves, and love with others. The things that are available to us are unlimited. And so we want to know that our Lord Jesus Christ himself and our God and Father have loved us and given us everlasting consolation, given us good hope by grace. And we want to comfort our hearts and establish ourselves in every good work and word. And so knowing that it's not just what we say, it's what we do. It's what we do that is evidence of us having obtained the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. I was sharing with a friend of mine an example of me not controlling myself and allowing my ego to get the best of me when some entitled person found themselves in my path, and because they saw themselves as being above me, they decided that I should go around them when I was clearly moving in a natural direction that would otherwise require me to go through this person if they were considerate at all. They would have yielded totally without me having to assert myself. And yeah, I know that's not what God is asking me to do. He's not asking me to assert myself. He's asking me to yield to the unreasonable person. But I'm being transparent now. I'm being honest. I'm letting you know that in that moment, Lester Carver's pride rose up and I did not yield to the unreasonable person. And they found that they had to move because if they did not move, I was going to go through them. They were probably going to get knocked down. And I was convicted. I felt the pride that I had allowed to govern my actions when I know better. I know that God is asking me to obtain glory, the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. He's asking me to literally get that by obeying his word and turning the other cheek and blessing those who curse me and doing good to those who spitefully use me and praying for those who persecute me. You know, he's requiring that of me. And in that particular situation, I did not yield. I did not obey God. And I had to allow myself to be transformed in that moment. I had to allow myself to experience what it meant to fall short and to understand that with God's grace, with God's unmerited favor, with God's enabling power, I also received mercy, punishment that I did not receive for having disobeyed God, so that I could learn from my mistake and get it right next time. And before I get it right next time, get my heart right so that I'm not seeking my own interest. See, remember what it says in 1 Corinthians 13, where it says, love bears all, love believes all, love hopes all, love never fails, right? Well, that's what it means to love. And when you're pursuing love, then you don't find yourself getting petty with petty people and letting them bring you down to their level of obnoxiousness, of unreasonable behavior. And I did that. It was like I took 3 steps backward. And yet, some people are so offensive. They're just so offensive that it is difficult. It is difficult to ignore that level of offense. But when we realize how much we have put God through, right? When we realize what we've been forgiven of, then we have to understand that when God tells us he requires us to forgive everybody else, that he requires us to forgive everybody else if we're going to be forgiven of everything, right? And so that's a good deal. I know if God held me accountable for a portion of all the things I've done during the course of my life, I'd be in trouble. And so would you. So we have to know that God has a special blessing in store for us when we're serious about obtaining the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ through pursuing love and desiring spiritual things and magnifying God's word in our lives so that our word and our work is established. And I want to look now in 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. And there's a whole lot here that we need to really, really begin to digest. So I want to dive right into verse 1. It says, finally, brethren, pray for us that the word of the Lord may run swiftly and be glorified just as it is with you, and that we may be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men, for not all have faith. Now, I want to stop there. And remember how he's talking about the unreasonable and wicked people I was dealing with here in Indianapolis, right? Well, in that situation. I found myself behaving just as unreasonable and just as wickedly as they were behaving. And I had faith, right? But I, at that time, in that situation, I was not renewing my mind to the word. I was not replacing what I was experiencing with what I knew God was telling me to do so that he could get glory out of that situation. Instead, I behaved just like the unreasonable and wicked person, by asserting my own interest and daring them not to move, by continuing in my path and not yielding to their unreasonable and wicked behavior, right? See, when people look down on you just because you're different than them, just because they see themselves as being above you, and you refuse to accept that, I understand. I understand. In this situation that I was in, I had a choice to make, though. My choice was to get glory for God or get glory for Lester Carver and Lester Carver's ego. And in that situation, I made the wrong choice. I decided to assert my interest to get glory for Lester Carver, to pursue my own interest and assert my own rights, and cause this other individual to move out of my way, or they would probably end up on the ground. And I know that in my heart, I was convicted because I could have yielded. I could have got glory for Jesus Christ in that situation by simply being graceful and gracious and yielding to unreasonable and wicked people. And this says, finally, brethren, pray for us that the word of the Lord may run swiftly and be glorified. See, our desire should be their desire, for the word of the Lord to run swiftly and be glorified, just as it is with you, and that we, the servants of Christ, may be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men, for not all have faith, right? And see, we're in a world full of unreasonable and wicked men without faith, and we want to be delivered from them, so we don't want to be behaving like them. We want the word of the Lord to run swiftly and be glorified. See, obtaining the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ means agreeing that the word of the Lord is going to run swiftly and be glorified, because we're going to say yes to God's will and no to our own will. It's not so difficult. It's not so easy to do. And see, it's one thing for me to be here talking about what we should be doing, what the word says, but we want to be comforted in our hearts and established in what we say and what we do, in our word and in our work. See, every good word and every good work counts. And see, when you get to the place where you're serious about obtaining the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ, then you are intentional about getting your good word, getting your good work in, getting it done, and making it happen. And I'll tell you, I felt bad when I yielded to my ego, when I refused to obtain glory for my Lord Jesus Christ. Instead, I decided to vindicate myself. I decided to assert my own interest. And that's not what love does, period. I had to experience that and learn that and know that no matter how far I think I've come during my journey with my spiritual growth and development with God, it wasn't far enough to keep me from that poor behavior, right? But God forgives me, and I receive that forgiveness. I am going to be transformed by renewing my mind and not doing that again. Letting God's word replace what I feel, what I believe, what I observe, what I think. But look at what it says here in verse 3 of 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. It says, but the Lord is faithful, who will establish you and guard you from the evil one. And we have confidence in the Lord concerning you, both that you do and will do the things we command you. Now may the Lord direct your hearts into the love of God and into the patience of Christ. And I'll tell you, we need the love of God and we need the patience of Christ, because these unreasonable and wicked men that we are dealing with, they are they're going to require the patience of Christ and the love of God in your heart, in my heart, so that we don't fall into the trap of behaving as they do and being unreasonable and wicked ourselves, because we do have faith. See, there's a difference. If they had the power of the Holy Spirit within them, then they could call on love, joy, peace, gentleness, meekness, kindness, patience, faithfulness, and self-control, and it would be theirs, but they don't. Now, the problem is when we start behaving like them, then there's a problem. As I was sharing with you, as I experienced. And see, that's why God tells us in Revelation chapter 22, verse 11, he tells us, let the righteous be righteous and let the wicked be wicked. And see, it's one thing when someone in the world is unreasonable and wicked, but it's another thing when somebody who is in the church is unreasonable and wicked. That is an unrepentant heart. That is someone who is not being transformed. And I felt that I needed to continue to grow, because I had not yet mastered that level of self-control where I was willing to yield to the unreasonable and wicked that crossed my path. So look at what it says here in 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 6. It says, but we command you, brethren, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you withdraw from every brother who walks disorderly and not according to the tradition which he received from us. For you yourselves know how you ought to follow us, for we were not disorderly among you, nor did we eat anyone's bread free of charge, but worked with labor and toil night and day, that we might not be a burden to any of you. Not because we did not have authority, but to make ourselves an example to you how you should follow us. For even when we were with you, we commanded you this: if anyone will not work, neither shall he eat. For we hear that there are some who walk among you in a disorderly manner, not working at all, but are busybodies. Now those who are such, we command and exhort through our Lord Jesus Christ that they work in quietness and eat their own bread. But as for you, brethren, do not grow weary in well-doing. And if anyone does not obey our word in this epistle, note that person and do not keep company with him, that he may be ashamed. Yet do not count him as an enemy, but admonish him as a brother. Now see, you have to understand that what we're being asked to do here is we are being asked to withdraw from those who walk in a disorderly fashion, right? To not endorse nonsense. And so these disciplined followers of Jesus Christ, they were telling those that they were teaching that they should follow their example and say, hey, we didn't come here just eating anybody's bread for free, but we worked with our hands and we toiled night and day so that we wouldn't be a burden on the brothers and sisters in Christ. And they didn't do that, not because they couldn't have decided to eat freely, right, for nothing, but they worked so that they could make an example of how the people they were discipling should behave, right? They were showing what Jesus Christ modeled, what he taught when he said, he who will be greatest among you will be servant of you all, right? When he washed his disciples' feet. It's that level of love, that level of an example that was being put forth here. And this says, for even when we were with you, we commanded you this. If anyone will not work, neither shall he eat. See, you should be willing to work. And then when you eat, you know that you're getting glory for Jesus Christ by doing things decently and in order, right? It says that they hear that there are some among you who walk in a disorderly manner, not working at all, but are busybodies, people who aren't doing anything. They're just talking about what other people are doing and what's going on and this, that, and the other. And he says, now those who are such, those who are like that, we command and exhort through our Lord Jesus Christ that they work in quietness and eat their own bread. He said, do your own work quietly and eat your own bread. Eat what you earned. But as for you, brethren, do not grow weary in well-doing. Do not grow weary in doing good. And I know that there are times when it does get exhausting doing what is correct, doing the right thing. It says, if anyone does not obey our word in this epistle, note that person and do not keep company with him, that he may be ashamed. Yet do not count him as an enemy, but admonish him as a brother. Just let him know, say, hey, you know what? You can do better than this. And know that he's not an enemy, but you just can't be spending time around people who are not willing to do what gets glory for our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So the conclusion of all this, it says, now may the Lord of peace himself give you peace always in every way. The Lord be with you all. The salutation of Paul with my own hand, which is a sign in every epistle. So I write, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. Now, I just want to share this with you because when we are obtaining the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ by pursuing love and desiring spiritual things, it starts with us correcting our heart's disposition toward these things. So just as it said, if you won't work, then you shouldn't eat. But it said, don't be busybodies, not working at all, but just going around getting in everybody else's business. And so we are to be in this place where those who are doing that, we're exhorting them, look, our example should show them that they should work in quietness and eat their own bread. You know what I've noticed about this? If you've ever gone into an environment that is quiet, there's money being made there. It sounds crazy, right? But I'm telling you that where the most money is being made is where it is the quietest and people are getting their work done. Now, I want you to go to Proverbs chapter 28, and I want you to go there because this isn't all about money. This isn't about money at all. This is about our heart's mindset so that we can obtain the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ and not dishonor him by disobeying the word of God. So look at what it says here in Proverbs chapter 28. Proverbs 28, verse 19 says, "He who tills his land will have plenty of bread, but he who follows frivolity will have poverty enough." So this is why they were being admonished here to work with their own hands in quietness and eat their own bread. It says, "He who tills his land will have plenty of bread, but he who follows frivolity will have poverty enough." That's Proverbs 28. Proverbs 20, verse 19. Verse 20 says, "A faithful man will abound with blessings, but he who hastens to be rich will not go unpunished." Now, you'll see this, and you'll see how people who are chasing quick get-rich-quick schemes and other things, it says, "He who hastens to be rich will not go unpunished, but a faithful man will abound with blessings," right? One who does what is required, one who is doing his own work quietly and enjoying, he is eating their own bread and working in quietness. But look at this heart mindset here in Proverbs 28, verse 8. It says, "One who increases his possessions by usury, interest, and extortion gathers it for him who will pity the poor." So this says the clever one who is increasing their financial position by gaining an unjust advantage over others and extorting others, he gathers his resources for those who will pity the poor, for those who will have a heart to extend the hand of God to others so that they can be blessed, so that they can have their needs blessed, met, so that they can pursue love and desire spiritual things, right? See, desiring spiritual things oftentimes requires us to let go of the things of this world. So I just want to encourage each and every one of you, do not be weary in well-doing. Seek to obtain the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ by pursuing love and desiring spiritual things and magnifying the word of God. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word that's gone forth tonight. I thank you for you blessing someone. I thank you for you strengthening someone. I thank you for you encouraging someone. I thank you for you having gone before someone and let them know that you have called them to be your child from the foundation of the world. And Father, I thank you for each and every one of us having a great night's sleep. In the name of your son, Jesus Christ, amen. And as always, from Spirit Alive Network, Tuesday Night Teachings with your host, Buster Carver, be ye transformed.
In my heart now. in my heart now. Give me the word,
the word
now. Oh my, if I can hear from you, then I'll know what to do. I won't go on. Never go on my own. Just let your spirit guide and let your word abide.
Speak to my heart, Lord.
Oh my heart.
Be your
holy word.
If I can hear from you,
if I can hear.